Hello and welcome. You've tuned in to the School of Ministry podcast. Paul is your Bible teacher today. If you have questions you would like addressed, let us know. Maybe you have a need in your life and want to know how the Bible gives answers that apply to us today. Feel free to contact us. Now enjoy the lesson.
I'm going to do today what we tell young preachers not to do. That is, and you've seen it where they have 10 million scriptures and you're flipping here and you're going there. So we're going to go over to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14 to begin. And it's with kind of a mixed emotion that, do you remember the days when we used to have watch night services? We would begin the new year in church. Unfortunately, because of our day and age and the carelessness of so many, drunkenness and all those, churches have pretty much curtailed having watch night services for people's own safety. So you're not having to drive while there are drunk drivers or shots being fired and all of those things. But you know, if you look at what's happening in our world, we see wars, the Middle East, more rumors of wars, North Korea, and all around the Middle East, now more fronts, Ukraine, we can look at all over. We can look at all the pestilence, the diseases that are coming about. We see wickedness growing. And so if the Lord does not come tonight and we enter into 2024, I just hope that we'll look forward to it. Lord, are you coming soon? Are you coming now? Because I believe the coming of the Lord is soon, and that's what we need to be looking at. So I hope that you have found by this time Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to read just one verse, verse 14, and then we're going to open in prayer. But it tells us in Proverbs 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. I have another verse. It's in Proverbs 15 and verse 22. So we'll go over there and then we'll go to chapter 24 and verses 1 through 6. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I'm giving you a plea for planning, a New Year's plea to plan. I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a better title than that. Brother Dan, you can think of a better title, but that's what we're looking at. We're making a plan. And also Proverbs 24, verses 1 through 6. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You see that in every one of these, it speaks about their safety and a multitude of counselors when we come together. I think it was in 1976, maybe the end of 1975, over here on Wilson Way and Newton Road, there was a lumber company, Wicks Lumber Company, and I worked there, 76, 77, and I would cut the wood for the headers and make all of the frame packages and put together all of that material, and then we would load them on the trucks and then take them out so that a home could be built, could be framed up. And one day, I had a whole load of lumber, all the 2x4s, units of 2x4s, what they call plate material, the long material, pressure treated, the headers, everything was ready. It was a big truckload. And I delivered them to the lot where I was supposed to be, and there was the man that he signed for it. And he said, I want you to drop it right here. And I had a way of backing that truck up and hitting the brakes and going forward. And the lumber would just roll off because you had rollers. And that's the way we did it. And it would just land perfectly right there. In just one fell swoop, the truck was unloaded. But I got all the lumber delivered took off. The man had signed for it. The next day, I was called into the office. What did you do with that lumber? I delivered it. Here, you know, I had turned in the paperwork. Everything was done. Where did you put that lumber? I said, I put it right where the man said to put it. He said, that man told you to put it right where they were about to put the foundation. And the workers were there to dig the foundation, and they were there, the plumber was there to dig his rough plumbing, and they had to move all of that lumber because somebody had failed to plan. Somebody said, that's where it should go, but that's where the house was going to be built. Nobody thought about, you got to get the foundation in first. And that's the way when we build a house, it has to be done in a certain order. It has to be done in a certain way. And then those workers, and of course they were calling the company thinking, well, they'll come out with a forklift and just pick it up and we won't have to take all this whole truckload apart and move it by hand. They had to move it by hand. We didn't have a forklift that could have done that. Without some fundamental, rudimentary planning, you probably wouldn't have anything to eat today. You wouldn't have had anything when you got up this morning, but you planned. And maybe you had a bowl of cereal, but whatever it might have been, detailed planning can go into building a house. And without that, you won't build a house, or you won't build a skyscraper, you won't build a city. There are city planners, but it takes planning, and it's done step by step. And if producing shelter, producing food, clothing, transportation, if all of that is valuable, then planning is valuable. And nothing but the very simplest impulses get accomplished without forethought, without what we would call a plan. My years of pastoring, I always thought that a church needed to have a plan. And so we had a 1-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan. Even though I believed in the coming of the Lord, I still believe in the coming of the Lord. And until he comes, I think we ought to plan. I think we ought to be prepared. It's time to band together and to move together as one building, as one unit, as the Lord's church. A building fitly framed together. Not this building, a building of people. I think we need to plan for spiritual necessities. All of us know this, and we practice that in relation to our physical necessities of life. What do I mean? We plan to eat. We plan what we're going to have. Maybe you've already got dinner planned, or you've got, you know, lunch planned. Everything is all planned out. You know what you're going to wear. Well, you see, we plan. But do we take our spiritual needs that seriously? Do we take our spiritual needs? Do we need to apply that same effort, the same earnestness in planning to maximize our personal work for Jesus Christ, as well as this church's ministry? Do we plan to make a living? Are we planning to do that? Then we ought to make a plan, a spiritual plan. What I would like to do, what my whole purpose of this message is to persuade every one of us to take a time, set aside a time each week that you plan out your prayer life, that you plan out your devotion life, that you plan out, how am I going to work for the Lord? What am I going to do to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ? Because when that bulldozer comes in to prepare that land, the bulldozer of the Holy Spirit sometimes arrives on the scene of a heart that needs to be ready for a great work of building. But if he finds there's been poor planning, that there's piles of material in the way, we're not ready for him. We need to be ready to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do. So the way that I hope to motivate you is by giving you 4 examples according to the Bible. And first, it's from Proverbs. And that's why I've given you that whole list of illustration from the Proverbs so that we can just quickly go through that and that you'll have those available. Because I think that it's interesting that Proverbs tells us to plan over and over and over. And I've limited how many scriptures I've given you. And then we see the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's planning. Well, what about the planning of God? The plans of the Father? What about the plans of our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh? So let's look at these illustrations from Proverbs. It tells us first in Proverbs 6:6-8, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. You see, here the ant is an example, not only because it works so hard, it's an example because it plans ahead. That little ant is planning for the winter. There's a thought that's embedded in little ant, that little insect, that it knows that during the summer it needs to collect the food and put it into the nest, because there's coming a time in the winter when there'll be no way of finding that food. So there's forethought that's providing for its own needs in the winter. So lest we become lazy, we need to be planning, we need to be preparing. What about Proverbs 14 and verse 15? It says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent," that is the wise, "considers well his steps." You see, there's a difference between planning and not planning, is whether you look where you are going in the future and whether you focus all of your attention on the immediate, right in front of you, or if we're seeing what's the future holding. If you're not a planner, then you're going to be at the mercy of others who will try to give you counsel about how to act now so that you'll be happy in the future. So the simple believes everything, but the prudent looks where he's going. That's the idea. He's watching where he's going. He considers the days that are to come and what they're bringing, and he thinks about how to best prepare for them and use them to accomplish the purposes that God would have in your life. How about Proverbs 15:22? "Without counsel," we read this earlier, "plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors they are established." So here's the wisdom of planning. Too often it's taken for granted. But the writer here of Proverbs is simply giving us advice to make those plans succeed. He says, basically, don't be so independent you think yourself above counsel. I've got all the answers, I know everything, but we need to read the wisdom of others that have gone before us. We need to talk to those who are experienced, to those who are wise people, and watch the way others do things. And we learn from their mistakes and we learn from their successes, so that we're watching our steps and we're stepping carefully. How about Proverbs 16:3? "Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established." You see, planning is taken for granted, and the issue is, how can you plan in such a way that what you produce will have a lasting, abiding value and not just pass away overnight? Well, the answer is, commit it to the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. That is, that we're seeking the Lord's guidance, that we're seeking his strength in our planning, that we're trusting his wisdom and not our own. And then your plans will bear fruit, and a fruit that lasts, a fruit that stays, because we're looking to do things and bringing our life in line with God's word. How about Proverbs 24:27? It says, "Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house." You may say, "Brother Paul, what does that mean?" Well, this means that it's important for you to support yourself, to be the productivity of the field before you establish your household. A young person today might think about, before you get married, you need to have a job, or at least have the idea of a job, where you're going to work. You need to be wise in your planning, and that's what I would tell young people today. You need to have some plan of how you're going to support yourself, how you're going to take care of the new household that you're establishing. And that's what the writer of Proverbs is saying, is think these things through. Look at how God can use all of that, and make sure that you are in line with God's word. Well, there's one more. How about Proverbs 31:15-16? This is the praise of that worthy woman. "She also arises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard." So here's that model homemaker, and she is a model planner in two ways. She gets up early. She assigns tasks to her maids. You can't assign a task to your maids if you don't have a plan about what's going to take place and what you'd like to see accomplished that day. And she also considers a field and buys it. What does she consider? She considers, how is this going to fit into the plan for her household? There's a conclusion that we can draw from Proverbs. Careful planning is part of what makes a person wise and productive. Not to plan is considered foolish, considered dangerous. That's even true through the Proverbs, and the Proverbs teach us that we don't know what the future may bring. We don't know what it might be. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, Proverbs 16 and 9 says. But the fact is that the Lord is ultimately in control. The future is in his hands, and our lives are in his hands. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan. It means that we should commit our work to the Lord and trust him to establish our plans according to his loving purposes. Well, over here in Romans chapter 15, if you want to go over to Romans chapter 15, I think that this is an encouraging passage. It's verses 20 through 29. And the Apostle Paul had a plan. And we'll take just one example of Paul's planning. And there are many that we could have taken from the book of Acts and from his other letters. But I want us just to look at one area that the Apostle Paul planned. Begins in verse 20. We're going to read through verse 29. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey, and to be helped on my way there by you. If first I may enjoy your company for a while, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those in Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and sealed this to them, this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. For I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. What's Paul saying here? I think it's a typical example of the Apostle Paul, that he had a purpose to carry out a mission. And I think we can learn from his personal ministry, because he understood church planting. He understood what it was to have a productive ministry. And I think that in our personal work, our personal ministry, it can be melded and be a part, and it should be a part of the overall church ministry. So Paul was maybe one of the greatest, if not the greatest, church planter that ever lived. He accomplished more in his life that we know of for the spread of the reign of Christ than any other person. So I think we do very well to take seriously his method. And part of his method was that he did plan. And he had a general guideline. Notice what his guidelines are. He wanted to preach where no one had preached. He wanted to go somewhere where they had not been exposed to the gospel. And that's why he says that so I wanted to make it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. So that was his goal. He wanted to preach where no one else had gone. So he had a very specific guideline. He was going to take the gift to Jerusalem and then go to Rome, and to use that church at Rome as kind of a Western base from which he's going to go into Spain. And what makes this really especially significant is that, as far as we know, the plan never went through. He was arrested when he went into Jerusalem. He went to Rome as a prisoner, probably never got to Spain. It's just like what we saw in the Proverbs. God is the one who finally makes the future certain. But nevertheless, we plan. And God uses our plans, even if He changes our plans, even if our plans are aborted. For example, if Paul had not planned to use Rome as a base of operation for a trip to Spain, he probably would never have written this letter. Think of that. One of the greatest letters of the New Testament. He probably would not have written this, and it's crucial. Planning is crucial in Christian living. It's crucial in Christian ministry. And even when God steps in and overrides our plans, and even when God steps in and changes our thoughts, we ought to take the example of the Apostle Paul. What about the planning of God? Well, the ultimate reason for planning is that God is a God who plans. We are created in His image. We were told to exercise dominion over this earth, of course, under His leadership, under His lordship. And I don't think it's even possible to conceive a God who does not act according to His eternal plan. That is, God never has, can I say, knee-jerk reactions? In other words, because of your actions or my actions, we don't catch God by surprise. We don't take God by surprise. He's not up there fretting and worrying and saying, oh me, oh my, what am I going to do now? God has a plan. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I also will do it. You see, He's got a plan. I gave to you in the notes there, Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. There's another in Acts chapter 2, verse 22-24. The Apostle Peter stands up and he says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You have taken the lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it. So since God is a God who does all things according to His plan, it benefits us to approach the most important things, the important things of life, with forethought, with a plan, not haphazardly. We need to plan it according to His will. Well, what about the planning of Jesus? This is the last we'll look at. What about the planning of Jesus? Well, Jesus did have a mission to accomplish, and He finished it according to His plan. He had the foresight, the forethought. Remember in John chapter 2, the wedding feast at Cana, His mother urged Him to do a miracle, even though she didn't quite understand what He was going to do, but how He changed the water into wine. And Jesus says to her, my hour is not yet come. In other words, you don't understand my purpose. You don't understand that He had a planned and appointed hour to reveal His power. And He was going to stay with that plan. Even though God used that, God changed the plan, right? In Luke 9, 51, it says, now it came to pass, when the time had come for Him to be received up, that He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. He knew the plan. He knew that His death in Jerusalem was coming. And He did not shrink back from that plan. But He wasn't driven against His will. His Father's plan was His plan. He says that in John chapter 10 and verse 18. No one takes it from me, speaking of His life, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up. The command I have received from my Father. This command I have received. So you see, he was steadfast. He was set. He was looking for a very specific plan. As we wrap this up, I want us to think about very specifically that we use this new year to take the time to plan the things that are most important in your life. Plan that which is most important in your life. Plan how you're going to spend time with your spouse to deepen and strengthen your relationship. How am I going to strengthen my marriage, my relation, my family relationships? Plan how you're going to spend time playing, teaching children or grandchildren. How can I influence my grandchildren? How can I influence my children? How can I help strengthen them in their walk with the Lord? How are you going to get the amount of exercise to stay healthy? So you have to plan, how am I going to get enough sleep? How am I going to stay healthy? How am I going to live? How much should I eat? How should I limit myself? How am I going to take times of rest for spiritual renewal? All of those are things that we plan that we deliberately set apart. But most important, plan how your prayer life, your meditation on the Word is going to be a significant part of your life. Without a plan, these most important things get pushed aside because the world always has urgent pressures. Make planning a regular part of your life. It won't work just to plan something tonight or tomorrow. Planning has to be a regular part. Here's the end of my message. My plea to you is to take the first day of the week, Sunday, the Lord's Day, because it belongs to the Lord, take 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Think through, plan through, what's my prayer list? Who am I going to pray for this week? What do I ask God to do this week? What am I going to read in the Word this week? What am I going to study this week in the Word? And then give some thought of how you might want to be used in God's special way. Maybe that you are planning to text someone or email someone or write them a card, or you're going to write a Bible verse maybe that you want to share with someone else, your children or your grandchildren, or a visit that you want to make, a book that you want to read that's going to encourage you in your spiritual walk, maybe a neighbor that you want to talk to. Take the first day of the week, Sunday, to plan. To make a plan, to make it a part of your life. I think the Proverbs teach us to plan. The greatest missionary that I know of who ever lived was a planner. God is a God who does all things according to a plan. Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem because of the most loved plan that was ever made so that mankind could have eternal life. He planned for our joy. We ought to plan for His glory. I'm going to close out with that thought. He planned for our joy. We need to plan for His glory. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? There may be those that are listening that do not know Jesus Christ. What a better way to close out this year, knowing that when you close your eyes in death, you would be immediately in the presence of God because you have accepted Jesus Christ, who died on a cruel cross, whose blood was shed so that you could have eternal life. He died for your sins as He died for mine, so that we could have life. Or maybe there's something else. Maybe there are those that just need to get in and be a part of the church and need to be working and be active there. And you need to just come and join with this church as she receives her members. We want you to come. Or maybe there's just been something and we've looked at all those different scriptures, but I hope that you see that in all of these, I hope that I've laid out the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. He has a plan. He has a plan for you. And He wants you to make a plan for Him to have time. If the Lord doesn't come in 2024, and I hope that He does, I hope that this is the time that the Lord's going to come. And maybe you say, oh, wait, I don't want it to be so close. I do. I hope that it's this year. But if the Lord tarry, I hope that you're ready to meet Him and that you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you've been planning to give Him honor and glory and praise.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you enjoyed the message. We trust you've been encouraged, challenged, or generally built up spiritually. If this lesson has sparked questions, or perhaps you have questions of a different topic, let us know. Our information is given on the website, or you can reach us at sclofministry@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.